Shine, little Rover, shine, little Rover,
Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. This is KVNF's gardening show. I am your host, Jill, and I'm here with my favorite gardeners, Lulu, Lance. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Yeah, I think something's blowing in.
It's here.
I think it's in.
I'm so excited. Might be some snow shoveling action in the morning, you think? At least here in the North Fork.
Yeah, no. It could be.
No, you don't think so, Lulu.
Why would you shovel it? It's going to melt. Leave it alone. You know?
Oh, Jeff likes that answer. Yeah. Yep, Jeff in the control room, ready to take your calls. Are you shoveling or not? Are you one of those people that just lets it melt?
I shoveled the north side of my house.
Did you?
Because it will really pile up there.
Yeah, I've got a north driveway too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, the north side of my house is a nightmare actually because these big avalanches come off the roof.
Oh yeah.
So one year there was so much snow, I had these signs that said, you know, look up, danger, beware, don't go here.
Well, Chicken Little.
If I leave that snow there, it melts and goes right in the back door.
Oh, see.
Sure.
So I just get rid of it.
Yeah, that's a project all winter
long,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay, 527-486-8166, KVNF now. Jeff's in there ready to take your calls. Last week we had the beautiful squash in here, Marina Day.
Gioia.
Yeah, that was super fun, Lance. Thanks for bringing it in. And Annette was our winner, who guessed the weight on that baby, 22.5 pounds. Well, she was closest.
She was the closest.
Yeah, it was, what, 24?
And 20. 3/4.
Yeah. And Jeff averaged out all of those guesses. And we had guesses from 9 pounds to 55 pounds, but averaged out 21.5 was the average guess.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I like that. So no squash in here to guest on tonight, but we've got some delicious raisins from your garden. Yeah. Lance, thank you for sharing those.
Yeah, I was going to bring in a squash, but I couldn't carry it. It's this French musk melon, the French melon.
Okay.
It's a pumpkin, which is a squash. And it didn't turn orange, so it's just hanging out. Bright green. We'll see.
Oh, nice.
Still might be good.
Are those big Cinderella type?
Yeah, it's kind of a Cinderella type. Yeah. It's really hard to carry. And I bet it weighs 30 pounds, 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And it's just too bulky.
We'll have to bungee that onto your scooter.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There you can ride your pumpkin into town.
Oh, Lordy. Right? Get a team of horses and off I go.
Yeah, there you go, Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But these raisins are great. And we were just talking about the difference of taste in your raisins and commercial raisins. And these are super sweet, just gorgeous. Again, something from your garden.
The difference is we get to pick them ripe.
Pick them ripe.
Yeah. And the commercial, whether it's organic or not, they pick them at a certain sugar content where we get to wait till they're dead ripe.
Yeah. And then you're hand picking the ones exactly that you want.
I'm hand-picking them, and then these I'm now in the process of de-stemming them.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
And so, you dry them with the stems on?
I dry them in the clusters.
That's so smart. I never thought
I don't have to do anything,
that.
And then when they dry out, I just roll them in my hands.
Man. Okay, that did it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm on a whole new tear next year.
It takes a little bit longer, because I'm not using a dehydrator, or I just have it on screens, but I don't have to do anything, just one thing.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So you just put the whole bunch of grapes on your screen, let them dry.
Yeah. Let them dry, and then that makes so much sense.
It does.
Do you rinse them off a little bit before you start to dry them? Okay. Cool.
Nice. How long did those take to dry?
A month.
A month. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's been kind of moist out, too.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah.
And all that drying stuff is now in my house. Not too far from the fireplace, so the air is dry.
Right. Yeah. What else you got drying? Oh, what, Lulu?
Nothing.
Oh,
what else you have? I'm just eating the grapes.
I know.
Raisins. I don't think they're Reliance.
No.
Candace?
Mm. Yeah, I think they're the other ones.
Mm-hmm. But she's got discriminating grape taste.
Yeah, I'm fussy about that. Those are ants. Nobody knows that, but those are those are destined to be ants on a log.
Ants on a log.
Uh-huh.
A little peanut butter and celery.
Uh-huh.
Were you a Girl Scout?
Yeah, for sure. carrot right. with peanut butter and ants. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
We were talking about eating just before the show came on and just how your garden, you are out there grazing.
Yeah.
And your eating habits change in the garden.
Yeah, they really do. I guess I'm kind of blown away by it, really, because you start to realize how much you do change when you have a garden, or just how differently a lot of people here in the North Fork Valley eat from, mm-hmm. you know, mainstream America.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's big.
It is
big. You know, we're really we're lucky.
Yeah, and I think what you realize when you eat that way is how good food really tastes.
Yeah, right?
Real food.
Real food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real food.
Well, like I mentioned, the kale, and mm-hmm. after kale gets a frost on it.
Oh, yeah,
and
buddy.
I just steam it up. I don't have to put anything.
Yeah.
No salt, no butter. I can just eat away.
And right there.
Yeah, it's all you need.
Yep.
Or carrot.
Beet greens do the same
uh-huh.
thing. The beets sweeten up. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Collards do the same thing. Although that Georgia sweet, that's sweet all year long.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to cook kale with shallot and garlic tonight. It's going to be fabulous.
Ooh, that does sound fabulous. I'm smelling it right now.
Yeah.
527-486-8166 KVNF now. Give us a call. Let us know what's going on in your end of season garden. And Lance, you said it's still okay to plant garlic.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not frozen. One friend, well, you've heard Shaniqua call. She,
yeah.
yeah.
She planted in the snow.
Yeah.
She's out there planting garlic.
No, this was last when we had snow on the ground.
Uh-huh.
But I've planted garlic actually when there's an inch of frost in the ground. Breaking it through with a shovel. I don't recommend that, but I have done it in December.
Wow.
So if you can get it in the ground still, it'll be just fine.
Wow.
Another thing that has happened, this is the first year that I didn't have to water garlic that I planted.
No, so all season long you didn't water
garlic? No. This fall planting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
if it had been real dry, you want to get it a little wet.
Yeah,
you want it to start to set down some roots, because then it doesn't frost heave and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. You want the roots to start growing roots as the frost heave. That's the freezing and thawing during the wintertime will push those bulbs out of the ground.
Okay.
And
I always feel like I never get them deep enough anyway. I'm too neurotic.
Uh-huh.
You know? it's always like, oh, is that deep enough? Oh, no, man. You know?
Well, double the size of the clove.
Yeah.
Just like tulips or anything. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
double the size of that bulb or clove.
I never get them that deep.
Right. And you didn't plant your garlic this fall?
Well, there was a mass planting of in Chilean on a bed that I prepared. But in my home gardens, no. I didn't.
No.
Uh-huh.
I didn't. No.
Yeah. And you planted in the... Your soil was really wet when you planted. That's why
it was really moist. But again, I was lucky enough to have everything prepped.
Right.
And so.
And here's what I discovered. Okay, so you know how I was telling you I used that 4-inch square.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hog cloth.
A hog panel or whatever it is.
Grid,
you know,
kind of thing.
Paneling. And I discovered that you can walk on it. And then you don't, you know, compress the soil.
Yeah, yeah, because the whole thing's holding your weight up.
Yeah, and you're stepping on the grid of mm-hmm. the thing, and you don't get these big old footprints in the garden. And that's something some people are really neurotic about, is you should never is walking in your garden and mm-hmm. compacting the soil. Some people are really adamant. You know, they put down planks or they, you know, do something different so uh-huh. that they won't
walk
actually
on the bed.
Physically walk in the garden. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I actually have pathways.
You do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, depending on wherever I have the actual beds that I do, that there's a 2-foot pathway.
Right.
And it's sort of, even though that sounds like a lot.
No, it's not.
By the end of the growing season or the middle of it, that pathway is now only 12 inches.
Yeah,
it's only 12 inches.
Yeah.
Some places you cannot walk past.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and then you might let that volunteer tomato, I had two of them, that took over one pathway.
Right.
And,
that's the fun part.
Yeah, and the kale and stuff.
When everything just goes wild, you know, and it's just so abundant and it's just so happy.
You can't walk through the squash patch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, both of you had a crazy squash patch.
Oh, man.
Squash patch.
I had to do squash patch. Say that fast a couple of times.
Squash patch. Squash patch.
But I grew those French, we were talking about it, those French pumpkins that something Provence, whatever. And I've never grown them before. And I'm telling you, I have never, ever seen a pumpkin vine like that. They went for miles.
Yeah.
Miles.
15, 20 feet.
Yeah. Oh, more. Yeah. More.
Wow.
And they went from where they were planted. They went up over one fence, across the pass. Up over another fence into this garden where there were. I mean, it was. I even found three more today.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that were just out there, you know, doing their thing. It was. I have never, ever seen such vineage.
Such vintage. Vintage. Nice. Well, we're glad you made it out of the squash patch.
I am,
patch.
Too. Boy, I tell you, I told you this summer I was worried about, you know, when I was crawling under the sun gold tomatoes, I thought, geez, you know, nobody would ever find me.
Just
you
keep
know?
One big toe sticking out just in case.
Yeah.
And Lance, you were mentioning squash bugs, that you're seeing squash bugs around in the gardens that... They're looking for hiding places.
They're looking for hiding places. I was in a garden that hadn't cleaned up their yard yet. And the squash bugs were still underneath the leaves at the base of the plants. And the very basic thing is clean up your garden.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give them a home to live.
You know, I was going to ask about leaves tonight because I haven't raked my leaves. And it was funny because not a lot of my big leaves have fallen. It's all of the little leaves until about 15 minutes ago when the wind came through.
And everything changed, right?
Yeah, well, Lulu and I, both of us, we don't rake our own leaves.
Yeah. What do you do?
Okay, just leave them.
Just leave them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just leave them. And if they're really thick, in the springtime, they haven't the worms haven't taken them into the ground. I might loosen them up, I might rake them up, but in general, I don't. The grass will grow through. So many people worry that their grass is going to get smothered. It's not.
It's not.
I mean, if you live in Connecticut or you know New England in the hardwood forest areas of the country, yeah, you could have a problem. But but even then, you know, they you rough them up with a rake. You know, and instead of like raking the rake, you just do it side to side like a fan.
This is in the springtime.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And just fluff everything up.
And that way it does.
I like it.
And the air, the soil can breathe and the worms can come up and pull back down in the ground.
Yep.
All right. Sounds like a good plan.
That beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Good plan to
me. I do bring some leaves home, you know.
Oh, God. Right across the street from me, Marilee, she has an unbelievable tree. The maple tree
nice.
I mean, boy, does that thing
gorgeous.
Put down. And it hasn't yet, all of it.
Yeah, that's
you know?
My maple tree,
it's,
too.
It's just, still there.
Yeah.
And, man, you could go over there and just, whew, man.
Pretty stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we have a caller that wanted to let everybody know that he or she has a number of window screens that can be given to anybody if you're interested in using those for drying.
Drying. Those make great. And you can handle them. They're easy to handle.
Easy to handle. And that's what you put the raisins on?
Well, I have a different type of screens, but I have done screens, window screens. I have some in case I get too much. I have that a second place to put them.
Plan B.
Right, plan B. Mm-hmm. Oh, that reminded me. I wanted to get my drying racks out of the barn, but I didn't. But I'll do it. That's okay.
Yeah, drying racks out. So let Jeff know, 527-486-1866. KVNF now if you need some window screens to...
Yeah, because they work really good.
Yeah.
And you just clean them off at the end of the season, and then you're ready to go come drying season next year.
Okay, so tell me about what you're doing with spelt, because you said you have threshed and screened the spelt. What does that mean?
First of all, I took that spelt one grain head at a time, and I broke it off the straw, the stalks, all
what?
Of it.
One grain head at a time.
In one grain. It took me about 2 weeks.
Wow.
Because that's a very tedious job. And I put it in 4 gallon buckets.
Oh, my God.
And so I had, so I got 7 of those buckets full of grain heads. And the reason why I did that is spelt's really brittle, the seed head. And if you start handling those bundles that I have it in, you start breaking off the seed heads. Okay.
So you were gentle.
Yeah. And so that was the first thing I did. And then I took my shredder that I use for compost. I took the wire brush to it and the hose and cleaned them all up. And cleaned that up because that's what I use to thresh the spelt with because it's got a husk on it. So it needs to be hit a little bit harder than just your feet. And I put all the tarps down and I poured it through twice.
Wow.
And then I run it through a screen to get the coarse, the bigger stuff out. And then the next step is to winnow it.
Goodness me. That is
I wouldn't
a lot
recommend
of work.
Spelt for anybody, a beginner grain grower, because it is a hard one to get the hull off. It's the hardest. Wheat's easy, rye's easy. Some of your barley's. I grew a Tibetan barley. It's easy. There's oats that are pretty easy. What else do I grow? The millet, the pearl millet's pretty easy.
Oh, pearl millet.
Kamut's really easy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all those are all good grains that are easy to grow and easy to clean.
Yeah. And even amaranth is clean. Even though it's easy, it's not. It's very small, but you just stomp on it with your feet or whatever and run it through screens. And from, do I do a quarter inch, then an eighth inch, and then the last one is a window screen. I actually put it through a window screen, and it's pretty clean.
Oh, wow.
That takes a little time. But yeah,
the proof is in the pudding.
Yep. That's.
And,
I don't think that's going to come up in my life.
Yeah, no, you don't think so.
No,
I don't either.
But I'm glad somebody's doing it. Because there you are. You know, you never know. Maybe you'll have to do it sometime.
Yeah, and corn is really really easy.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Hey, we have Lisa from Eckert on the line with some questions. Good evening, Lisa.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions. My friend wants to know about cutting back peonies. Like, when is a good time to do that?
Oh, anytime.
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
Now? Go for it.
Right now.
Go for it. Yeah, they're all yellowed and, you know, funky. Just get rid of them, yeah.
What do you do? Okay. Cut them all the way down to the ground, or
sure, whatever, yeah.
whatever you
want
to do.
Yeah.
I'll admit this. I actually took the weed whacker to my one
flower
bed. Okay. I was just all knocked over from the snow, and the easiest way to do it was to irises, sedums, peonies, they all just lilies, they all just, and then I just raked all that stuff back in the bed, and I'm going to throw compost, and it's good for next year.
Yep, that's what I was doing today too, ripping and stripping.
Ripping and stripping.
Yeah, okay. Buddy. I've got the tomatoes out, all the leftovers, you know, and I was in there hand picking them out, and it was good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can go for that, Lisa.
Okay. Well, I'll let her know that. So now I have another question. So I recently just tore down an old barn building, a small one, but it has they're big overgrown plants next to it, and one of them is a big honking rose, big. Like it has big, big, big stems. And last year I cut it back, and now it's even taller. But I want to transplant it. And I don't know when is an appropriate time to dig that sucker up.
Not now.
Not now.
This is a suggestion. You can, the old timers when I moved here, how they started roses from cuttings.
Yeah.
And they did it now. And they took that cutting now, put some root compound or rooting compound, and stuck it where they wanted it and put a mason jar over it.
Oh, I have heard of that too.
And you'd have to do several to make sure you got it, because if that rose is that big, you will never be able to dig it and transplant.
Yeah, you're not transplanting that rascal. Forget it.
Yeah. Oh, you mean even ever?
No. Yeah.
Oh.
It's so big.
Yeah.
You could get shoots off. You could get shoots off the side in the spring, but that root crown is
probably massive.
Yeah. Mm. What color were the flowers?
I don't know, because they were like, it was so overgrown. I think they're red. Probably. But, you know, we have a tractor with a bucket, and I thought, if I had just got that bucket in there and really got a lot of the dirt around it.
Yeah,
that might work.
It's so big.
Yeah.
It's so big, but I thought, I don't want to do it in the inappropriate time.
Yeah, well, springtime.
Spring would be it, yeah. And,
okay.
just cut it back.
Yeah.
You know, cut it back to a manageable size. And, yeah, if you've got a bucket, you maybe.
Yeah.
You know, you get a bucket and a sawzall.
And what?
A sawzall, just to cut it down to 18 inches or so. You know, the other thing is, I would dig that right when the buds start to swell on it, because it wants to grow.
Yeah.
And stick it right in the ground, water it, and water with some kelp. Put some kelp on it. The kelp will get it to go through the stress of the transplanting.
Okay.
Or use some of that root stuff. Or you know what else you can use? If you have a willow tree.
Oh, the willows. Soak in the willows and then using that water.
Yep. Soak willows. So, I mean, could you even use like, the raggy willow that's everywhere, that Arctic willow?
Yeah. Yeah. Any willow.
Any willow.
What that does is willows root really easy. And if you soak them in the water, like how you're going to root them, the enzymes and compounds or whatever that the willow needs for rooting gets in the water.
It leaches out of the willow wood and gets in the water. So if you could do that, you know, just get a 5-gallon bucket, go get some willow whips, soak them, and water your rose with that. It's going to work.
Do it. Fascinating.
I would do it 5 days a week before you're going to do this transplanting project.
Uh-huh.
And then you have this, I mentioned rooting compound. Well, here's your homemade rooting compound.
Right. You don't have to go to the store and buy one. You can just fester it up.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe what I could do is do the little transplant with the mason jar now.
Yeah.
And
well,
try it. Just to ensure that when I... If I kill it, if I kill it, at least I'll have the plant,
Yeah.
And so my last question, I know I said I only have two, but I'm going for three.
Go for
the big one. So I have these overgrown orchard that doesn't, they're old, they don't produce anything because they're so overgrown. When should I start trimming that up? Like I have apricot, I have them all. Apricot peas.
You can start on the apples in January, apples and pears, and then you move into apricots and cherries and plums, and then the last stuff you prune is the peaches.
Oh, so not now.
Not now.
No.
No,
oh.
If you wanted to, if there's dead wood, you could saw the dead wood out.
Now.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
the live wood
that
you...
Yeah, you can still see it.
Yeah. You know, but I wouldn't do any pruning on live wood till later. You know, I don't know how many trees you have. So orchards, sometimes they start as soon as the leaves are off because they have so much work to do.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
if you don't have that much, we have the entire winter, you know, to do
okay,
it.
Okay, I totally started on one of the apricot trees, but I'll stop and wait.
And wait. Okay. And I will probably be doing a talk in February on pruning.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. Great questions.
Good
have
to talk
good
to you.
Bye-bye.
All righty, bye.
Yeah, we're already thinking ahead to pruning. Yeah. I mean, time goes so fast.
Yeah.
And you're turning your garden right now, hand turning your garden.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and do mine, too, if it doesn't get, if it,
yeah. right.
It's
people
not
think
just
I
a
have
mud
some
bath.
Sort of machine. I said, here's my shovel.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right.
I'm driving the shovel.
Yeah.
Riding it. And you're talking about disrupting the soil, how that's a good thing to do, Lulu, right?
Yeah. You know, because it's like Lance is saying, you know, there's all these bugs and things. When you work that soil up and, there's two schools of thought. Well, there's probably 10, but, but you know, either you mulch the living peewee out of it, and then all the bugs that are there come up through the mulch and they start to make great soil for you, or you just clump it up, because you see that going on now too, where everybody's got a lot of people have their fields really deep plowed and leave those big chunks, and then over the winter all of that will just break down.
Yeah, the freezing and thawing will do that.
Yeah, it'll just break down.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Hey, John in Montrose is on the line with a question. Hi, John.
Hey there.
Hey.
Hi.
Question, I have a willow tree that I planted this fall, and the deer have nibbled off the bark. And what can I do to kind of save that tree?
Is the bark all the way peeled off all the way around?
Halfway around.
The tree's okay, but that's called girdling if it goes all the way around.
Yeah.
I would wrap it. There's tree wrap that you can wrap it with.
Okay.
You might actually put some of that bark paint.
Bark paint, yeah, that tree paste paint.
Yeah, there's black and there's different stuff, but you can go in there and just say go to the garden center and say I had a deer chew some bark off a tree. I want to paint it with this bark paint. And there's black and there's green and there's
white.
There's different kinds.
What does the bark paint do? Seal it?
Seal it.
Yeah, it seals it. It keeps it from getting diseased.
And the tree should be fine, but I would also wrap it. Being a young tree, winter sunburns them.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so you want to wrap it. And there's a product for that, too, and it comes in rolls. And it's about 4 inches wide. And you just wrap it just like you're wrapping your handlebars on your bicycle.
Right. Mm-hmm. And don't wrap, don't strangle the tree. Just let it wrap out. Mm-hmm. And then come springtime or whatever, you might
take it off.
Take it off.
Yeah.
Be sure to take it off, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
What can you do for those trees going through the winter? The deer love to graze in the yards in Montrose.
Called fences, dogs.
Fences, dogs, wrap them with chicken wire. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, get creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks, John.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate the call. All right. Well, wow, another half hour just whizzed right by. Maybe it's blizzarding out there. I don't know.
Nah.
Oh,
well,
we'll
mention what you can plant in this late fall for next year germination.
Yeah, let's mention that.
Sometimes, and it's usually around Thanksgiving up at this end. If you're down in Delta or Grand Junction, it'd be a little bit later.
Okay.
But because you don't want this stuff to germinate now. You want it to germinate in March.
Right.
And so you can do spinach, lettuce, parsley, parsnips. Parsnips do really good this way because people have a hard time getting parsnips to germinate. But if you plant them now, they will germinate on their own. And the reason why people have a hard time germinating parsnips is because they take 3 weeks and they get impatient.
Right. You got to keep the moisture.
You have to ham water every day for 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And that's why parsnips are hard. But if you do it now, it's really easy. Arugula, cilantro, dill, mazuma, kale. I've seen carrots volunteer in the garden. I've seen celery, but I don't recommend it because celery is this funny plant that if it volunteers, actually, the volunteering part isn't the problem. The problem is if it gets below 59 degrees, 57 degrees, it goes to seed.
Oh.
That's just in their genetic makeup or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what, even if it's only 6 inches tall, it will go to seed if it gets that cold.
Okay. So, well, those are a lot of plants that you can put in the ground now. That are going to germinate for you in the spring.
Yeah.
Come right up.
Come March.
Right.
I think mine came up. I did it last year. I don't do this every year, but mine came up in February, which was too early. So the spinach and most of the stuff was okay. The lettuce didn't like the hard frost afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you just fake it till you make it, you know. Just do something.
Give it a try.
Yeah.
try something.
Anything because you never know.
Right.
You never know.
All right, guys. We are going to be back next Tuesday. If you have any questions between now and then, you can email us at worm, W-O-R-M, at kvnf.org. But it'll be next Tuesday we're back, and it's DJ Leah Love coming up for One Woman's Perspective. Thank you, Lance. Thank you, Lulu.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
See you next week.
Enjoy the evening.
Thanks for listening to KVNF.
Bye, everybody.
Fast pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, low, little low and low.